Let's open our Bibles to Philippians. We're on our way to Colossians, but Philippians chapter 2. This morning we're looking at wives who God wants to be loved by grace-energized husbands who lead in humility like Jesus. Who lead in humility like Jesus Christ. Think about that. That's what Jesus wants from us, and God desires that every marriage in Christ's church, every marriage that is a joining together of a man and woman who both know and love Jesus Christ, every marriage in Christ's church is to be led by a husband who loves his wife and has that sacrificial desire that Jesus Christ confessed, that he loved us to the end and gave himself for us, coupled with not just the love that's sacrificial, but leadership that is also like Christ. That's the other half of the equation of a godly marriage. And that is a leadership that is expressed in humility. That's how Jesus Christ led. And all of us husbands are asked by God to represent him here on earth. As we saw last time in Ephesians 25, that means the first commandment is to love our wives, but the second half is to lead them in humble humility. Leadership, because humility reflects Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at Philippians 2, starting in verse 5, Paul explains a simple, practical way of modeling humility. And it's the best way to love our wives, and by the way, our children, and anybody else that we love in life, is to have this same attitude, this humble attitude of Christ. But look at verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, taking upon himself the form of a bondservant." Then verse 7 at the beginning, "He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death," and as verse 8 concludes, "even death of the cross." So you see that this leadership is a sacrificial love that issues into a humble leadership by example. And this morning my desire is that husbands, each of us would decide right now that leading with humility that's like Christ is your goal. You know, we'll never get somewhere that we don't point our life. We'll never become in the future something we're not becoming right now. It's not like someday. It's start now. Start pointing in that direction or re-pointing in that direction. Because we should want to become the most Christ-like servant on earth to our wife. And the scriptures tell us, because our marriage in Christ is so much a part of what we are going to be rewarded for, because the majority of most adult believers' lives will be spent married. And that is a huge part of the eternal assessment for our reward. So the obedience we have as husbands to love and lead like Christ is so important. So how do we get this way? Because we weren't born this way. We weren't born with leadership characterized by humility. Well, keep going to the right now, to the next book, Colossians, because that's where we're going to focus this morning, Colossians chapter 3. Because the way we get clothed with Christ's humility is the way we start leading our wives. Living as a humble servant of Jesus Christ is part of what the Bible calls sanctification, or more simply, God changing my behavior. Now remember, sanctification is God changing the way I behave. And I'm supposed to be engaged in the sanctification process. I'm supposed to be cooperating with it. All who are justified, as we saw at communion in the study of the doctrine of justification, all who are justified, God begins the process of sanctification. It's the other side of the coin. So if you're truly saved, then you are in the process of sanctification. If you're truly justified, genuine justification has on the other side of it sanctification. And sanctification is God changing the way I behave incrementally from the inside out, changing how I behave. And that's what Colossians 3 is all about, God changing my behavior. We are to agree with God's desires as expressed in his word, and we're going to use this 12th through 14th verse as a target. God has expressed in what we would call imperatives, commands, how he wants us to behave, and we have to agree with that. Then we have to consciously deny the way we were born. You and I were born selfish. No one had to teach us that. we didn't get it because we were in some wicked preschool or some horrible nursery, and they warped us into selfishness. We brought that with us. That is part of the imprimatur of our flesh and of our fallen image of Adam that all of us have at birth, at conception. And from the moment we act, we have that selfishness. But we have to start living like the new creation we became when we were justified. And that process of going from the new creation that justification brings us into Christ's likeness, is the sanctification process. And that is what we have to do. We scrape off the old us and we put on the new us. And Colossians 3, starting in verse 12, is God asking us to consider whether we're obeying Him. We're looking at how this command impacts husbands today. But actually, if you really pay attention to the 12th to the 14th verses, you see this is for every believer today. God wants all of us clothed with Christ's humility. And these verses have the genuine Christian put-ons. Now, you've probably heard of people that just put on. And there are a lot of people that put on. You know, they put on a happy face and they're not. And they put on, you know, like they really love people and they don't. But this is genuine put on because this is what we are supposed to clothe ourselves with, these attitudes. The sanctified behavior we must consciously seek to live out each day. Verses 12 through 14 is the new us in Christ. And we are described as putting on a wardrobe. And it's a wardrobe every believer is to draw from and to wear each day. And specifically, men. We're to lead the way in putting on humility and letting that humility permeate the way we lead our wives and our families. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Paul, addressing us, writes these words, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on," and that's an imperative. And here's the list: tender mercies, or as the New American puts it, a heart of compassion. Kindness is second. Humility, there it is. Meekness, long-suffering, verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Wow. Sanctification laid out in beautiful detail. Choices we must make. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Apostle Paul addressing a group of believers, who lived in a pushy, assertive, self-centered Roman world, who lived in such an advanced civilization and culture that these words must have sounded ridiculous to the unredeemed or to the unsanctified believer. How weak it would be to act this way. How ineffective to accomplish the gathering of everything that self wants in life, to clothe our lives in this way. But how precious to see your desires for us reflected, your plan for us, the pathway of great reward, the pathway of great blessing laid out for us. And I pray this morning that every husband here will lead the charge inside and say, Lord, I want to clothe myself with this Christian wardrobe of sanctification. Every man, every woman, every young man and every young woman, that we would all say, we want to be sanctified. Change our behavior, Lord, into this way. And I pray that we would grow in the grace and in the knowledge of living and behaving this way. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. God has asked each of us to participate. That's the verse 12 starts with that imperative. Put on. And that is a command to us. So God has asked each of us to participate in personal sanctification. Everyone in his family, God says, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every wife, and this morning the focus, every husband. are each to get clothed by conscious choices each day. I mean, when the alarm went off a little before 6, I went like this and looked out the window. I gathered that it was more than this much snow. I didn't want the, you know, my daughters or my wife to have any trouble backing out, so I put on my snow clothes. I mean, I have this smelly, gas-smelling snowblower outfit I wear. I just couldn't wait. It kind of gotten a little rusty in the closet, and I put that on. I consciously clothed myself in a special way to do snow blowing. Did you know God says you and I are supposed to clothe ourselves consciously by choice each day? That act of obedience will transform each of us as we take on our God-given role. If I'd have worn my suit out there, it would be wet right now. There is a certain outfit you wear for certain things. And God says for your role in life that He has given us, and each of us have a gender-specific role, not from culture, from God. And the gender-specific role for husbands is God has commanded that they lead in two realms. They lead in the marriage and they lead in the home. And to do that, they're supposed to get dressed. And that act of obedience, dressing ourselves in this list of personally chosen acts of consecration to the Lord and agreement as He sanctifies us, will help us. For believing husbands, our God-given role that He designed for us is to lead, and we will glorify God as we lead. And as believers, all husbands are to be growing representations of Christ. That means that born-again husbands will seek to love and lead just like Christ. And few words can describe the sheer delights of a marriage lived in this manner, one day at a time. One day at a time, as God designed marriage to be. Well, how do we lead our wives like Jesus led? God designed men to lead, and God designed women to respond. It's the role of men to initiate and pursue, no matter how hard it may be. Christ's example of gentle, compassionate servant leadership is a model for all of us who want to be godly husbands and dads. The characteristics of Christ's leadership are what each of us men should emulate. And if you distill down Jesus Christ's method of leading. Remember, the Gospels show His method of leading primarily with that group that He led most intimately, His disciples. If you distill that down, you'll find out that Jesus led with transparency, with sacrificial service, with kindness, with strength, with tenderness, and with praise. He commended them if they did anything right. He tenderly spoke to them when they did things wrong. In fact, He tenderly encouraged them when they were weak and fearful. Jesus Christ shows us how to lead. Well, how do we lead men, our wives, like Christ led? Let's turn to the right to almost the last book of the Bible. Look at 1 John, and I'm going to give you this list of qualities. 1 John chapter 1 has the first one in it, and the 7th verse. A godly husband leads humbly, first of all, and I would encourage you, don't try and bite off more than you can chew. Now, I love my snowblower has an intake about this high, and so every so often I love to just shove it into the big snowbank when it's there to see how much it can take, you know? And it's really fun. It kind of, and then all of a sudden it just, and it'll blow it. Remember, I blow it in my neighbor's yard. And, you know, I just like to just briefly do that to see how much. Well, one time when it kind of froze and snowed again, it was too much for it, and it couldn't take it. And, you know, I think of a lot of believers, they hear a message, and they just go right into the snowbank, you know, and they start kind of plugging up. Don't just go home and say, I'm going to do every one of these today. Everybody watch me. Just pick one or two, okay? And listen to the whole list. You know, it's a lot. First of all, a husband who is energized by grace leads humbly because transparency becomes his habit. Now, what do I mean by that? Look at 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus Christ led with transparency. Jesus Christ revealed Himself to His disciples. He allowed them to intimately come to know Him. In fact, He says in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that you know the only true God, even Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. A husband who leads with humility will live the way God designed him to live and give his wife complete openness, communication, and vulnerability. This is the basic requirement God set down in 1 John 1:7. That is what it means to walk in the light, to have openness, communication, vulnerability. Walking in the light means not hiding in the shadows. It means allowing ourselves to be exposed, to be seen. We do not hide our lives from those we love. We share our life with them. And just as Jesus loved his own to the end, so we should love our wives. Just as Jesus will never leave us or forsake us, our wives need to know and feel and hear from us our lifelong loyalty. And one of the best ways to encourage our wives is to clearly and regularly say how much they fulfill our lives. That's part of this transparency. It's something that we struggle with. In my life, I think a lot more than I say. I think all the time. But I don't often say it. And so I kind of every so often check and ask Bonnie, did I tell you that? And she goes, no. I know you think it, but you haven't told me that. And so we have to say it. In fact, I seek to tell my wonderful wife, Bonnie, in every way I can think of, how much I need her help, how much I need her counsel, how much I love her companionship, how much I long for her presence. It's vital that she feels all of her needs are being met in a loving manner. If she loves my time, I give her time. If she loves gifts, I give her something she'll cherish. If she loves words, I give her quiet times of talking about whatever she needs to hear. And our marriage over the years has grown in this because we've learned to listen to couples that are further along the way. You know, one thing you should collect is someone that is a little bit further down the path than you are. I mean, if you're a college young person just starting out and looking toward marriage, look at someone that's just ahead of you in their late 20s and 30s. And if you're in your 20s and 30s, look at someone that's out just a little bit further than you. And always collect these people that are ahead of you on the journey of life and ask them. Ask them what they have found that they wish they had never done or that they wish they would have started earlier and what they are so thankful that they've cultivated in their lives. For us, we have been enriched by hundreds of godly couples that we have met, that we have known, that we have loved, that we've learned from in ministry. And here are some of the lessons they've shared with us. And I just share these freely. I call them, and Bonnie and I have kind of summarized these as four steps to help you become transparent in marriage, and especially husbands. These are the things that we need to choose to cultivate to have this transparency. Number one, humble, transparent husbands ask for help. I mean, that sounds dumb, doesn't it? You would have thought of that yourself. You didn't need me to say that, did you? But think about the implications of it. Some husbands are like cavemen. They mumble, they grunt, and they go through life in a cloud of silence at home. But the way God wired their wife is that the wife wants to be asked to help because they like to spend time with us. Therefore, we must leave the cave of our silence and let them know what we are doing. We should ask our wives to do things, even if it's something simple like holding the tool we need for a project or going somewhere together to buy this or that. In other words, as our best friend, they should be included in our lives, our words, our thoughts. And in doing this, it makes them feel like they're a valuable member of the team. Ask for help. Just say, honey, do you have a minute? Could you help me with this? That little act is just a way to humbly, transparently lead. Number two, humble, transparent husbands share burdens. A burden shared is cut in half. A blessing shared is doubled. God's math in marriage is perfect. We should share the load, as Galatians 6:2 directs us. If we don't, we're robbing our precious wife of what God made them to be, our lifelong helpmeet. If we pray about our burdens with them, soon they will likely come up to us and share their own burdens so that we can help them bear them. See, by example, a wife will open up and share more and more of her needs as we share our burdens with them. A marriage is only complete when both partners love one another and fulfill the law of love that God calls us to obey, and that is to bear one another's burdens. Thirdly, humbly transparent husbands confess struggles. They not only ask for help and share burdens, they confess struggles. No one can protect our integrity better than our wife. We therefore ought to share our struggles with them. For example, whenever I think someone is too friendly, I talk about it with Bonnie. She can see things as a woman I never could as a man. As husbands, we should discuss with our wives any ideas, any problems, any fears, or any pains we're going through because they want to share the real areas of our lives. They want to know our struggles. Such shared burdens will bind your hearts together like nothing else. The vulnerability of sharing honest struggles will do far more to affirm the vital partnership that our spouses want to have than any fancy present or expensive toy or getaway ever could. Your wife knows that she belongs to you if you share real problems, if you share real struggles in your life. Finally, a humbly transparent husband will express needs. Nothing motivates a godly wife more than knowing her husband truly needs her. Remember, God designed a woman to be a completer. Right from Genesis 2, it says that she would complete the man, that she was the one who absolutely was designed by God to fit together and to glue to his life. As a completer, wives need to invest their time and strength in what will matter to their husband. Nothing will warm your wife's heart more than to hear the words, "Honey, I really need you," and just fill in what you need in your life from her. Perhaps it's time to talk, or time alone with her, or time to get away, or whatever you really need. Telling your wife how much you need her is the greatest thing you can do, because God made her to long to meet your needs. Husbands, we should decide right now that transparency will become our habit and that we are going to become the closest friend on earth to our wife. And God says if we do that, the reward will last forever. Well, let's turn back to Matthew now for a second element. Matthew 20 and verses 26 and 28. Gospel of Matthew, beginning of the New Testament, chapter 20 and verse 26. Because secondly, a husband who is energized by grace will lead humbly because serving is his plan. Now, transparency is what his goal is, but serving his wife becomes his plan. Now, look what Jesus said starting in verse 26 of chapter 20. Jesus said, "This shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, here it is, let him be your servant." And then verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, here it is, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. A godly husband leads humbly because serving is his plan. He wants to be his wife's and family's best servant. A servant has a master. And since Christ is our master, we as husbands lead our wives even as Christ leads his church. That's Ephesians 5:23. Jesus is leading by serving his church, and so we lead the same. Fruitful and satisfying marriages start with the attitude of Jesus. Paul explained that Christ's motivating heart of servant ministry flowed from an attitude of joyful submission. That's what we read in Philippians 2. Jesus joyfully took upon himself the attitude of a servant. He laid aside the rights that he had. Theologically, we say he laid aside the divine prerogatives he had to order everybody around because he was God. He laid that aside. He humbled himself. So we lay aside our prerogatives to be cavemen, to be in charge of everything and telling everybody what to do. We lay it aside to be a humble servant. We embrace the humility of Christ. We stop being absorbed by self. We scrape off that old self, and we begin thinking of others in the process of sanctification. When Jesus called the 12 disciples, Jesus distilled his plan down to one word. It says, he ordained 12, Mark 3:14, that he should be with them. Jesus' whole discipleship plan was one word, with. In fact, that's a great parenting plan. Be with the ones you're parenting. It's a great marriage plan. Be with the one you want to be married to and grow with. It's how you disciple. You spend time with them. And that's what Jesus did. He was there with them. We need to spend personal, face-to-face, heart-to-heart time with those we are nurturing. Jesus was there with his disciples when they needed him. We should follow his example. And we as servant leaders need to lead in person, not from afar, not by extension, but in the presence of those we serve. If you read the Gospels closely, you'll see how clearly Christ's words communicated exactly what his disciples needed. He anticipated their fears. He expected their questions. He guided their growth. And just like Jesus, we should long to create understanding in those that we're leading by being with them. And husbands, we should decide right now that serving will become our plan and that we're going to become the dearest friend serving our wife here on earth, because Jesus said, I want to be with you to serve you, disciples. And then Jesus, when he ascended, said through Paul, husbands, if you want to lead like me, then lead like I led. And I led by being with them, and I directly, personally served them. And we should decide the same for us. Right at the end of verse 28, it says and emphasizes to serve and to give. You notice how Jesus served? It says that he gave. Now, it says he gave his life to be a ransom for many, but that we call his sacrifice. And the third element of a humble leading husband is that he leads humbly because sacrifice is his method. Serving is not only his plan, but the method he carries out, the plan of serving, is by sacrifice. Now, I want you to think about that. A husband who leads with humility will love his wife by sacrificing to meet her needs. Jesus told us that because God loved, he gave. See, love causes us to sacrifice and to give something. And that gift was the ultimate sacrifice of Christ. So husbands are to have that type of sacrificial love as their way of life with their own wives. Now, sociologists, you know, there are people who spend their life observing humans, and they're paid to write down their observations. Psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists, all of them are in the behavioral sciences, and they observe things. Now sometimes, you know, we don't take advantage of the wonderful observations that they've made. For example, this Jewish couple, the Rosebergs, wrote this. They interviewed hundreds of couples. Now, this is across the board. This isn't just Christians. This is across the board people. And what they came up with is amazing. They said that the top five needs of a woman who is married is unconditional love and acceptance. Wow. Sounds like it's right out of the Bible, doesn't it? That's the kind of love that God gives us. It's unconditional love that has acceptance. Number two, the Rosberg says that women need emotional intimacy and communication. Then she needs intimacy that is for her alone, which they didn't define. And number four, they said she needs encouragement and affirmation. And number five, they said that all these hundreds of women they interviewed needed companionship. Well, after looking at that list, I thought, wow, the Rosebergs make a valid point. Human nature is strange. Something in us assumes if we treat our spouse the way we would like them to treat us, that we're meeting their needs, kind of like the golden rule, you know, treat me the way I treat you. But what it is it's not quite that way when you're dealing with men and women. Because women are different than men, and men must learn. Because as husbands, our needs are different than our wives, that's why our method must be sacrifice. We have to learn to love our wife the way she can feel, the way she can know, the way she can experience and receive that love. In reality, God wired men and women differently. This doesn't apply only to sexual needs. For the reason, establishing a routine of intimate dialogue between husbands and wife is essential. To understand, now you know the popular, you know, men, I forget what it is, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. I don't know the title of the book, but what they're saying is it's like we're from different planets, the secular people. Well, God assumes that we understand that. And he says we need to learn something that is special to our wife and sacrificially offer that as a gift to her. whether accepting her without reservation, as the Rosebergs say, or communicating with her even when we're exhausted, or reading God's word to her instead of watching television or going online, or affirming one thing every day that we noticed that she did. Or maybe just follow her around till she notices we want to spend time with her. Find which of the five she likes and do it. And offer her by sacrifice. See, most wives have conditioned, and they know how we operate, and they know it like this, and so they kind of like are content to have all these concerns and needs and that we might not know about, and we do our thing. And all of a sudden, when a husband locks on and says, I'm going to sacrifice for you, and I'm going to observe you until I figure out what it is you want, and I'm going to pursue that, it might take a while for her to respond, but when she does, it's amazing the closeness. Husbands, we should decide right now that sacrifice will become our method, that we're going to become the closest friend on earth to our wife. Because God says, as Christ would stick closer than a brother to us, as he loves us and pursues us, so we should love and pursue one another. Let's turn back to Colossians, because I want to show you real quickly before we go a couple of more. Colossians 3 has another point that I want to emphasize with you in verse 12. Because next, husbands lead humbly because kindness is in their touch. It says in Colossians 3:12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion. Look at the second element, kindness. Now, Jesus Christ expressed kindness in a very, very clear way. Jesus Christ expressed kindness in his touch. Now remember, he could feed a whole multitude. He could heal the whole multitude. He didn't have to even get near them. He could have just like that. He didn't do that. He broke the bread and handed it out. He touched the lepers. He made mud and touched the sightless eyes. He put his fingers in the unhearing ears. Do you remember how often Jesus touched people? In fact, over 40 times in the gospel, it specifically says he put his hands on them. Now, if that's how Jesus led humbly, then kindness should be in our touch. And a husband who leads with humility will practice the simplest yet most neglected way of communicating love, by tender touch. Husbands who love this humble way are constantly in the habit of giving their wives tenderness, what the world would call chivalry and courtesy. If you've never felt the touches of Jesus through the pages of the gospel, a very moving study would be to actually read and look just through the gospels at when Jesus touched people and see how it stands out in the gospel record, how beautiful it is. If you take a few moments and look up some of those passages, you'll see the compassionate gentleness were in Christ's hands as he touched with love so many people. Jesus had a loving touch of kindness. He didn't just speak. He didn't just heal. He didn't just feed or protect or provide. He did all those things with the recorded addition of a special touch. People, whether they acknowledge it or not, need touching to be healthy. From babies and nurseries to the aged and care facilities, those who never get touched have many more problems and struggles. In fact, they find that in modern hospitals, if they can get people to come through and just be around the people, they heal faster, especially if they're aged. If they'll just have, that's why all the docents come around and they have all the people that come and talk and do that extra little touch, because our medical system got so mechanized they found they were staying in the hospitals too long because there was never that personal touch there. And the same with development of children. As infants, they need to be held. They need to be touched. There's something within humanity that needs touch, and Jesus knows how much we need to feel the touches of his love. So he came to his fallen creatures. He stretched out his hands, and he touched us. Husbands, decide right now that kindness will be expressed by your touch, and that you are going to become the most loving and expressive friend on earth to your wife. God has told us that the rewards for that will last forever. Back up to Ephesians 5. Here's another one, verse 28. A husband who leads humbly will have strength in his presence. It says that husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. A husband who leads with humility will love his wife by his presence, by actually being there for her, by protecting her, by making her feel secure in his love. Your beloved and precious wife needs to feel that you, like Christ, will never leave or forsake her. The strength that you can offer your wife is a learned art, becoming a student of your wife. Learn her patterns. Does she get the blues and the gray of winter? Know when that's happening and surprise her with something that she loves. Does she need time alone when she's going through her monthly struggles? Then send her off to a bookstore to drink tea and read her Bible or just be alone to think. How about the loss of her parent in the past? Do you remember and comfort her? It's this strength of your presence anticipating her needs. Just as we anticipate it, it says in Ephesians 5:28, we know how to care for our own body. We anticipate that after a long day, we're going to need rest. Do we anticipate for our wife? Do we have the strength of our presence near our wives? Those are just some suggestions of a lifetime of sacrificing your time to show your wife she's special and loved and your focus. We need to know her needs by studying her and showing that we love her so much, we want to acknowledge that by coming near her in times of need. Husbands, we should decide that our strength will be offered by our presence, that we're going to become the greatest student in the world of our wife's needs. And then, keep going back to Colossians chapter 4. So you're in Ephesians, go to the right, Philippians, Colossians. Look at chapter 4. And briefly, I want to touch on this one because it says in verse 6 that husbands who lead humbly have tenderness on their tongue. It says in verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Speech always with grace, seasoned with salt. A husband who leads with humility will practice one of the simplest yet most neglected ways of communicating love, by words spoken kindly, warmly, and directly to his wife. Jesus spoke with such grace that even his enemies confessed in John 7:46, no one ever talked like this. I mean, he had a tenderness that came out of his voice. Love flowed. You're probably saying, well, I could never talk like that. But that's just the point. We can't. But Christ in us can. And husbands, what effect do you think demonstrating that same spirit of Christ might have to our wives? We should decide today that the grace that God offers right there in Colossians 4:6, that same grace we will constantly seek him to apply to our words, that we say, Lord, I want my words seasoned with salt. I want my words prompted by grace. And here's how we do it. We'll make some little choices prompted by his gracious love. Just for example, tenderness means we will refuse to compare our wife unfavorably with others, especially other women. You don't go, do you see how she does that? Boy, I wish my wife would do that. Boy, that is cutting. That is improper communications. How about this? Tenderness means you will not use jokes about your wife or make cutting remarks to her in front of other people. Sometimes sit back. If there's a gathering of couples at a meal, just sit back and listen for a while and watch some of the couples talk. The husband will say, well, you know, last week I was, and the wife said, it wasn't last week, it was yesterday. And so he'll pause and he'll say, well, yesterday I was trying. She says, you weren't trying, I made you. I mean, the poor guy gives up. And vice versa for the husbands. We do not often in social context practice this seasoned with grace. Husbands, have tenderness. Don't joke or cut your wife, especially in front of anyone. And tenderness means you'll speak to her in a gentle, respectful way and treat her as you would, the Bible says, a valuable jewel. Personally, I believe Bonnie is the dearest friend that I'll ever have on earth for my whole life. And I would never want to harm her by speaking in such a way that would cut her. Husbands, we should decide right now that tenderness will be on our tongue. And we're going to become the best voice your wife will hear in her life, speaking to her and about her. And finally, here's the last one. Go to the middle, to the book of Psalms, and then go to the right, to Proverbs 31, okay? Right in the middle, and then go a little bit to the right, and go to Proverbs 31 and verse 28. Finally, a husband leads humbly because praise is his gift to his wife. Proverbs 31:28 says this, her children, this is a Proverbs 31 woman, rise up and call her blessed. But look at the end of verse 28. Her husband, he praises her. Husbands who lead humbly, praise is their gift to their wife. They will see Proverbs 31, 28 as their goal for their marriage. Many people talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, but few men strive to be the Proverbs 31, 28 husband. Her husband praises her. Shouldn't we likewise practice that grace until it becomes part of our daily life? It is so rewarding to see the long-term results. In fact, Proverbs 31, verse 28 is the only scripture I know that describes the way a godly husband speaks in public about his wife. If you're going to talk about your wife in public and you want to be biblical, praise her. And study her well enough that people won't think you're joking, that you really praise elements of her life. All of us as husbands are asked by God to represent Him here on earth. Our first command is to love our wives sacrificially like Jesus. The second half is to lead with Christ's humility. Are you praising your wife in front of your children? Are you praising your wife in front of others? That is the way a godly, tender, servant-hearted man leads. Humbly. God desires every marriage in Christ's church to be led by a husband clothed in humility. That's the goal for every man here who is a genuine believer and married or hopes to be someday. Now, how do we do this? Well, we do it by prayer. And with heads bowed, I'm going to list through this list. And as I told you in the beginning, I'd like every one of us husbands to pick one or two points and say, Lord, by your grace, I want to clothe myself with Christ's attitude, and I want your grace to energize me to love humbly in one of these realms. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you will teach each of us men to lead our wife more like Jesus leads us. And I pray that we would say in our hearts that we want your humble leadership to be our pattern, and that we will ask you to energize me to choose your transparency to become my habit for my wife, and that I would learn to want to ask for her help, share my burdens, confess my struggles, and express my needs. And I pray that you would energize us that serving might become our plan for our wife, that sacrifice might become our method for our wife, that kindness would become my touch for my wife, that strength would come by my presence with my wife, that tenderness would become my talking voice to my wife, and that praise would become my constant gift in public, with my family, and with my wife as a gift to her. Father, thank you that your grace can energize us to live and to change our behavior. I pray that we would become more and more husbands that reflect, O Christ, your humility as we lead. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.